The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
Get ready for some hot takes, off-the-wall topics, and candid conversations with current and former players. It's time for Eat 'Em Up with Emerson Edom.
Yo, 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 Ducks fans, thanks for tuning in to another epi of Eat 'Em Up. And how about this? I mean, we have some certified sluggers joining the pod here today. So let's get right to it with our main man. Wrong team he supports. Come on, it's all about the Ducks. But look, for today, let's just let him have the floor. Let's let him ramble on about the Jets and just keep in the back of the mind who the hometown squad is. And that's your Anaheim Ducks. So here it is. Let's give Jesse Pollock from Bar Down TSN a little ring here. We have Jesse Pollock joining Eat 'Em Up. And Jesse, thanks for taking the time to hop on this show. And of course, you're with Bar Down. You're also that's tied with TSN, of course, which we'll get to in just one moment. But look, out here in SoCal, Jesse, we're a little bit different. For a lot of hockey fans, you know so much about hockey. Your fan base is so huge. But maybe for Southern Californians and hockey fans out here that maybe don't know much about you, where are you from? How'd you get into hockey? Also, maybe talk a little bit about your playing days and all that jazz.
First of all, I just got to say thank you for having me. And I got to, you know, give you props for your fit right now because you're looking pretty good with that Mighty Ducks lid on. That's a nice shirt too. Might have to inquire about where to get one of those after.
Jesse, stop being surprised. Jesse, stop being surprised. We're always on fleek. We're always on fleek here on Eat 'Em Up. Appreciate it, though. Appreciate it.
We're going to have a convo after. I'm going to have to find out where I can get some of that stuff.
I got you.
Also, Emerson, pretty crazy, man. I mean, I grew up in Winnipeg, and obviously I definitely knew who you were growing up. You were a great player for the Medicine Hat Tigers, I believe, if I'm correct. So I was I knew some of the guys. You're 92. Correct.
I'm a 92, and you would have broke my heart if you got that that team wrong. So, hey, you're always spot on, though, Jesse. You're always spot on. So, appreciate that.
No worries. Just a bit about my story. I'm from Winnipeg originally. So I don't know, Emerson, I would have maybe some guys you played against when you're younger. I would have maybe been a year younger than some of them. I would have played with them or at some point. But anyways, I ended up moving to Toronto for school in 2013. What am I talking about? It's been crazy. It's been more than 10 years that I've been here, and I went to Toronto Metropolitan University, and they had a radio and television program for sport media. So long story short, I started going there, and then we did a tour at TSN, which is, for those of you who don't know what TSN is, it's essentially the ESPN of Canada. And we were just told by one of the hockey broadcasters here, his name's Gino Retta. He said, we know what you can do in school. We want to see what you can do outside of school. So I took that to heart, sent some emails, with an idea that I had to some executives that work at the company that I'm at now, tried to just get my foot in the door any way possible. I ended up getting connected with someone who I'd watched growing up actually on TV. And he asked me if I wanted an internship, and I didn't even think twice about it. It was the quickest yes in my life. And first job that I had was I had to dress as an inflatable dinosaur outside of Jurassic Park, which is like where the Raptors play during the playoffs. And I was holding this little flag, and people were like pouring beers on me, like getting a little rough with me, you know, taking some punches. And some people would have been, it was cold outside too, but some people would have been like, this isn't for me. But for me, I was like, wow, I'm in the background of a TSN broadcast. This is the coolest thing ever. And I'm from Winnipeg, so the cold doesn't mean anything. So it kind of just went from there, and then we started doing the quiz videos, and that kind of took Bar Down, I think, to the next level, because it started off as a website, but then we started doing more video content, and here we are. We have such a great group of people at Bar Down, just a lot of really creative minds, brilliant minds on the team, and you know, I'm very fortunate to say that the people who I work with are some of my closest friends, and yeah, so we're just trying to see we're always trying to see like where we can take bar down. We always want to be going up and up and up. So today we actually released a new music video. If you want to check it out,
I saw
it's a
that.
Remix. A remix to "I'm Just a Kid, I'm Just a Squid." Just got a lot of content coming up this summer too. We got a lot of soccer coming up. It's busy times.
And I need to finish the music video. I'm driving while trying to catch the bits and pieces of the music video. But for the Duck fans out there, it is featuring Timu. I know he was tagged in your post there, but it is featuring Timu?
It is featuring Timu, correct.
Awesome. Awesome.
So I actually know Timu a little bit just because back in the day we did a video on this very couch. We did like one of our quiz videos and we were in teams. And Timu was stopping by TSN to promote his book. And I said I wanted to see him. And the guy who was bringing him in said that I couldn't see him. And I was like, oh, like this sucks. Like I'm a massive Timu fan. I love the Jets. And later for the team's quiz video, a blindfold was put on me. And I had to kind of like guess who I was with. And I was like touching his face. Like you can literally watch, like I'm like grabbing his beard and stuff. And then I take the blindfold off and I realize it's Timu. And then we ended up doing the video together. And then I saw him at the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony and he signed my Jofa helmet that used to belong to him. And he's such a beauty. Like I absolutely love Timu. He's the coolest.
Well, he's smoking a stogie in that vid. He's a beauty and we all love Timu. And hey, it seems as if you put yourself out there, right? And that's what you got to do. If you want to make it to where, you know, Jesse, you yourself are, or just the highest levels of anything, you got to put yourself out there. And if that means you're getting beer poured on you, like happened to you, that's what it takes, right? And so congrats to all your successes. Everything's so deserving. So you are going up and keep going. So look, we'll circle back to growing up in Winnipeg, you're a Jets fan. That's why you're beloved by so many, but also makes you the brunt of many jokes. What's it like being a Jets fan?
Well, being a Jets fan, I am the brunt of a lot of jokes in Toronto as a result of being a Jets fan, especially when they get, worked like they did in the first round like they did this year. But you know what? I love it. I love being, I am a true believer. I have so much respect for the city of Toronto. And honestly, I do their fans. I respect how passionate they are. But with all that said, this city needs a villain. It just does, because as much respect as I have for these fans, they are insufferable, some of them, and they need to just be put in their place. And in Toronto, I'm the villain. I'm literally the Joker in Toronto. Like I got people on the street yelling all sort of crazy things to me, but outside of Toronto, people applaud me for being so against the Leafs, because I really represent in Toronto how most of Canada feels about the Leafs. We all can't stand the Leafs. They're so annoying because they're this big powerhouse. They're able to recruit free agents. They have all this money. They don't have to worry about rumors about their franchise relocating. They want a new arena. They want upgrades. They get it. They have a ton of money. And I just really have embraced being a villain in this city. But at the end of the day, I do think that it's all love. What people don't see behind the cameras is whenever I'm with Leafs fans at like Maple Leaf Square, we're taking pictures, we're having a good time, we're joking around with each other. Obviously, the way I portray myself or the way I am portrayed by other people is the villain in this city. And so being a Jets fan here, it's great. Being a Jets fan in general, I love it. I just look at every day as a blessing, really, to be able to have the Jets. I grew up without a hockey team in Winnipeg, and that was kind of hard. I had to grow up watching the Leafs on Hockey Night in Canada every Saturday and whoever it was. My mom's from Montreal, so I had a soft spot for the Canadiens. I liked the Washington Capitals a lot as a kid because I Alex Ovechkin's my favorite player of all time. But I'm just happy to have the Jets back and just want to see us go on a bit of a run for the cup here, but maybe next year, as they say.
Keep shaking up there in Toronto. Love it. Absolutely love it. Hey, regarding your Jets, second in the Central with 110 points this season, second in the Central with 114 points, of course, back in 2017, 2018. They've had some very competitive years in between. How in your mind can the Jets finally turn the regular season success into playoff success, Jesse?
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, a lot of people thought we had the pieces to go on a run this year, but it became apparent that our defense is just not there. It's not. But and as look, I think if Colorado is healthy, there's a good chance that they're in the Stanley Cup final right now, probably potentially winning the Stanley Cup. They're a very good team. I wasn't overly surprised that we beat them. Obviously, seeing Dallas beat them in the next series, like, okay, but you know, Colorado was were missing guys. They had the Nichushkin thing happen, and they already don't have Landeskog and whoever it was. They were just they had their own. Taves was injured or was sick. They had their own injuries, but you know, against Colorado, it's like, look, if we're going to be a serious team, we need to get defensemen who can stop these guys, and we just don't have it. I think I like Dylan DeMello. I think he's good. He's an analytics darling, as they call him, but I just don't really think it's your top line D-man. That's going to get it done. I think Josh Morrissey is the only defenseman on our team who I feel like really confident in. I love Brandon Dillon too. He's great as like a, maybe like your five or six. He's an absolute beauty, by the way, great guy. But yeah, I just think we need to get better on the back end. I think we're very deep at forward. And I think that the next step would probably be moving someone out and trying to get a defenseman. With that said, it is extremely hard to trade for good defensemen in today's NHL. So, you know, I want to see like one of those hockey trades, you know, like what was it? Was it PK for Ryan Johansson? I think that happened. Like, no,
I might have.
No.
I mean, with all that, Johansson's been, you know,
was it Seth Jones for Johansson? There was like, I don't know who did PK get traded for? Was it Taylor Hall? I think, I don't know. You see like these one for one hockey trades and you're like, wow, that's a good trade. That is going to address needs on both teams. Oh, no, sorry. PK got traded for Shea Weber. What am I talking about? Anyways, I'm getting something confused. Johansson got traded for someone. It may have been Seth Jones, like one for one.
Yeah, I feel like Columbus to Columbus and Nashville. You're right. Yep.
Sorry, Columbus and Nashville. I'm getting all my teams confused. But I just think that the Jets might have to make like a pure hockey trade like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know if you're going to really get better from one of those trades, but I just think that the Jets are deep enough on forward that there are replaceable guys. And I think that the guy who could be gone could be Nikolaj Ehlers. And like, that's what we're kind of hearing. You're hearing reports about this. I think any team could really use a guy like Nick Ehlers. His zone entries are unbelievable. He's so quick. He's a smart player. He's got injury issues, but I think for a team looking to add speed to its lineup, a team like Boston, in my opinion, that was visibly slow in the playoffs, they've got some good defensemen. Maybe there's something there. But and at the end of the day, too, I mean, we need Connor Hellebuyck to be better in the playoffs. That's the bottom line. This is the vet. This guy's going to win the Vezina this year. I love Helly, but he just wasn't good enough in the playoffs. So I think if we can get some good defense, and last thing I'll say, not to ramble here too much, we need to start bringing up our younger guys. Like Rutter's going to come, McGrory's going to come to Winnipeg after next year. I feel confident about that. Chipperkov is going to be in Winnipeg soon. Like I think the future is very bright in Winnipeg, and we just got to kind of build our back end out and then work from there.
Look, you got the goaltending, you got the forwards. I'm not even I'm not a Jets fan, but losing Ehlers, that was a little bit of a gut punch right there. I don't know how you could lose a guy like that. He's got that similar speed, that Kyle Connor. I mean, they're just, it's that 1-2 speed combo. You know, Scheifele can get wheeling. You know, Toffoli, he can get going once he gets going, but he's not known for his speed. And same with Monahan. You know, I think you might be losing too much speed by getting away from Ehlers there. I'll be honest. Yeah, and I don't know what you do. Maybe you ship off Vilardi again, even though he was prime time when he was healthy. Ehlers, I mean, he's playoffs, right? Just on speed alone. You look at Edmonton, some teams are built different, but Edmonton's got that speed. McDavid, I mean, Ehlers can fly. And I think that would be a huge loss. So, hey, to be determined. What a career Rick Bowness had with him retiring and passing off the torch to his assistant coach from the past two seasons in Winnipeg, Scott Arnold. Is Scott the right fit now with Rick retiring?
Look, I think Scott did a great job because Bones had to take some time away from the team last year because his wife had a medical scare. And I thought Scott did a really, really good job in his place. The team was really humming while he was at the helm. So, I mean, I'm willing to see what Scott has. Let's give him a shot based off of what the team was like last year under him. in the same breath, it's kind of nice to get fresh eyes on your squad. And there are some good coaches out there available, but let's just see how Scott does this year. I don't think we need to commit to him too long. If it works out this year, it works out. If it doesn't, then the Jets can move on. It was a very interesting year for coaches, but at the same time, it is a little tougher to get coaches to come to Winnipeg. And I think that's something that gets lost in like these kinds of situations during free agency. Winnipeg has it tough. It's not as desirable of a city as other places are to live in. And I'm excited to see what Scott Arneal can do. I know you see guys like Mike Commodore out there who are just putting him on blast on X. I mean, he played under him, I guess. So take that for what it's worth. But that guy's also a bit of a loose cannon, if we're being real. So I'm taking it with a grain of salt. I believe in second chances. You know, Scott's previous opportunities didn't work out too well. Let's see what he can do again. He seems ready for it.
Well, neither did Rick's. I mean, if you look at Rick's previous coaching stints, I mean, his win-loss records early on in his career, he had some tough teams. That Ottawa Senators team was not good. So you got to give him for the benefit of the doubt. And, of course, how he finished, I mean, he was just a hot, hot coach from his Dallas days into Winnipeg, did a darn good job. What's your pitch to get free agents to Winnipeg? If you could have one pitch right now, we grabbed a beer downtown after we swept you guys. Downtown, I don't know what the spot there was in 2015. We swept you, didn't we? Did we go 4-0? Am I not mistaken? I think we did. We grabbed
funny
a beer.
Guy. Funny guy. Hey?
We grabbed a beer somewhere. Wouldn't remember the name, but what's your pitch? Where would guys mix it up downtown Winnipeg? I mean, if you were to say one thing, get that star player that you need to get you over the hump, what is it? Where do you go mix it up downtown? What's the spot?
I mean, you probably went to Earl's downtown, if I had to guess, because that's the spot downtown.
That's unbelievable. I'll take Earl's over a lot of places. Give me my Kokanee iceberg. I'm having a time.
There you go. There you go. But okay, this is what I would tell people if I had to actually pitch them coming to Winnipeg. First of all, Winnipeg is actually a great city with unbelievable people. And if you look on our license plate, it literally says Friendly Manitoba on it. The people there are so friendly. Second of all, not only are you going to a Canadian market, you're going to a smaller Canadian market that adores their team. You are going to be it's funny, you talk about Mitch Marner using the term being a god. In Winnipeg, you are treated like royalty there, okay? Everyone knows who you are. The city is yours. You can literally go anywhere, and you'll probably go to places. You'll get free meals. You'll go to any club you need to go to. Everyone will know who you are. You are just the coolest in Winnipeg, okay? There's a great food scene in Winnipeg. Unbelievable food scene in Winnipeg, I'd say actually low-key. Winnipeg's actually low-key a creative place. There's a good music scene there as well. Our downtown's not great, but it's on the rise. This is the problem. When players come to Winnipeg, they only are situated in our downtown core. And Winnipeg's downtown is not like Toronto's downtown. They're developing it now, but it's just not fully developed. And to really discover Winnipeg, you have to go outside of downtown. Like if I was a team, I would not be staying downtown. I'd be staying outside of downtown. And what I think the Jets should be doing is they should be showing teams when they come here, they should be literally buying tours for them, as nuts as it sounds, to go and explore the city, because you can't just have players stay at like the Hilton or whatever downtown or the Delta downtown and have them walk to the rink. It's freezing cold there. It's miserable downtown. The Winnipeg Jets are building True North Square, which ownership's taking upon is building, which is going to be great. It's going to be a lot nicer. There's going to be more things to do. If you venture outside of Winnipeg's downtown core, there are a lot of great things to do. And especially, I mean, I know you're not there as much in the summer, but if you do want to look at like the lake life outside of Winnipeg, it is fantastic. So those are all things I'd say. The other thing I'd say is your cost of living is so darn small or low compared to other cities. Like imagine living in a place like LA or a place like New York. Sure, it's great. It's a great place to live. But if I'm a player, I look at it like this, okay? You're living in New York, sure, it's a great place to live, but you're on the road a ton anyway. And if you're a player, you're going to go experience a lot of these other cities on the road. You can still do all these fun things without having to live there. In Winnipeg, why would you pay $5 million for a house like you would in New York when you could buy probably a nicer house for less than $1 million in Winnipeg. You're saving so much money, especially for free, like for NHL players that aren't necessarily making like more than $6-7 million in the league. That's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. There's good schools there. There's good communities there. I'm telling you, Winnipeg does not get enough credit for how unbelievable of a city it is. Sure, it's cold, but like, whatever. Every Canadian city is cold. There's cold cities in the U.S. too. So unless you're living in like Florida or California, I think Winnipeg would be a great place to play.
I think you can get some of these studs by mentioning the lake, like you did, lake life. I think you could. I've heard it's some of the best fishing in the world, and I don't know how far that is in the vicinity to Winnipeg itself, but there's some great fishing in Manitoba. I've heard that. So hey, let's cut right to the chase. Thoughts on Stanley Cup Finals so far? I'll be honest. I wrote off the Oilers' last series versus Dallas. I thought once they got down, it's over. And then we had a comedian Ian Bagg on the show, and he said, Dallas, I went with what I just washed whatever prior thinking. I went with Bagger there with Dallas. Don't know why, because I had Florida coming back against New York. I chose that. I should have just wrote Florida all the way through. We, at least I did, counted out Edmonton last series. Look, the last game, 1-1 heading into the third period. Hell, if Edmonton has scored on most of these breakaways, it could be a different series, you know? So they've been close enough. I mean, is there any chance that you see Edmonton at least tying it up?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely possible. McDavid, when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, anything is really possible. I was with you. I thought Dallas was going to beat Edmonton. But I thought going into the series, I thought the Panthers were going to win in five games. Just because I think the Panthers are one of those teams that even if they're down 1-0, they could be getting dominated in a game. They just hit you in waves. Like they'll score and then they'll score another quick goal. Like, they're never really out of games. And I actually think Edmonton has looked pretty good, all things considered, through the first two games. I thought that first game they looked really good. But, you know, Bob is kind of firing on all cylinders right now. And I don't think if the Oilers play like they did in game one every game, something's going to give with Bob. They weren't obviously as good as they were in game two as they were in game one. But Florida is just finding ways to get it done. And Edmonton also is just pretty banged up right now. Like, we're going to hear that Draisaitl had a pretty crazy injury, I think, after I think I heard last night that he has 5 points in his last 9 games. Like, that is so uncharacteristic for Leon. He's looked really, really slow. He's doing as much as he can. Like, he still has great hands and stuff. He's also not really scoring from his office that we're used to seeing him score. He almost scored that really nice one yesterday, but Bob got a piece of it. But anything can happen. I mean, Edmonton could go back and they could win 2 in a row for sure. But I don't see Florida losing 4 or 5 games to close out the season. And honestly, I'm really happy for Paul Maurice. I think these guys are really dialed in for him. And what he's done with that team is nothing short of remarkable. What he's done with the team, and, you know, really everything started to change for that franchise when they made the Matthew Tkachuk trade. That was a foundation shaking trade. And Bill Zito deserves a ton of credit. Myself included, was critical of him for that trade. I know a lot of people were critical of him for some of the moves that he made, but he has done an incredible job. I mean, look at a guy like Gustav Forsling, who's just been unstoppable this postseason. They just have everything right now. And I mean, also one thing that we need to keep an eye on is Barkov. Like, if Barkov's out a long time, that's going to have a major effect on the series. But if he's healthy and he's playing, which I think he will, I think Florida's got this.
Jesse, any plugs, anything you want to shout out? Of course, please check out Jesse's new music video. I certainly am going to divest into what this music video is all about. I really look forward to it. But any shout outs?
Hey, man, honestly, just want to say congratulations on the podcast. I think, you know, as always, loved watching you play. I thought you were very skilled. And yeah, I remember that goal that you scored. I think it's great, man, that, you know, you're starting a podcast. I think you got a great voice. Really, I'm listening right now, and I'm like, this is a great, great voice for a pod or for radio. And not saying you don't have the face for TV too, but I'm just saying, because of your podcast,
you can be honest
podcast right now. But But honestly, man, very cool all these years later, like especially after following you in junior. You know what it's like when you're like when you're playing like bantam hockey or whatever, you're like following all like the people around your age going into the WHL and stuff. So pretty cool all these years later that we're on a pod together. So keep up the great stuff, man. And that was a lot of fun. And anytime you want to chat, you can hit me up and we can talk puck.
Would love to. Last thing, you mentioned my goal in Winnipeg at the Canada Life Center. What's been your favorite goal that you've seen, whether on TV or in person?
So there's two moments that stick out to me that have happened at that arena. The first one, last year, I had the pleasure, the Jets actually flew me down for games 3 and 4. And I remember we were down 4-1 in the third period and we scored early. I think, or did we score late in the second? Anyways, we went in the third period and I went on the microphone with like the MC of, or the person who hosts the in-arena events. And I said, you know what, guys, 2-goal lead is it's the worst lead in hockey. The Jets ended up mounting 3 goals back, actually. We tied it at 4-all. Adam Lowry scored with like 20 seconds left. It was my first home Winnipeg Jets playoff game. I have never been in a building so loud in my entire life. Like I was shaking, like literally every hair off my body. It was nuts. We ended up losing in double overtime when Sheep Amadio on Vegas, like hit one off of Dylan Sandberg's skate and it banked in. But that was Adam Lowry's goal was probably like the craziest moment I've ever felt in my life. Like I couldn't believe it. And then the other most memorable moment, without a doubt, was Dustin Byfuglien's hit on Barkstone. That was like the craziest hit I've ever seen in my life. I wasn't at the game, but I saw it on TV and like you could just hear the pop on TV. It was unbelievable. So lots of great moments in that rink. Lots of great moments to come in that rink, hopefully. And Jets fans, let's get those ticket sales up next year. Hey,
Jesse, thanks for joining us and keep doing you. It's been fun to watch.
You too, man. Thanks. Be in touch.
Okay.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
Jesse, Jesse, Jesse. Oh. Jesse pumping up the wrong team's tires. But you know what? What a guy. What a guy. And we certainly appreciate him coming up on Eat 'Em Up. And look, he keeps getting more popular and more popular. He's always stirring the pot and just really putting out grade A, high quality content. So keep doing you, Jesse, and congrats to all your success. Let's get into a little call with Aiden Dale now. And Aiden Dale, Dalesy, as we all know him. Look, he's crushing the game right now. I really look forward to see what he's doing these days. How's life going? So we're going to get him a ring. It's been deathly tough to reach out to Dalesy, so maybe we'll get a little insight on why that's the case. We have Dalesy joining us, Aiden Dale. And I think one of the bigger beauties in hockey. And Dalesy, it was tough getting you on here. What are like the worst cell services in Canada? What does it tell us these days?
Oh, TELUS, Virgin.
Whatever the worst one is, whatever the worst one is, I know you have, because it was awfully hard 100%. Getting you on this.
Yeah, I'm with Freedom right now. It's like a cheaper side of the cell service, but you know, Freedom needs to figure it out. Need to get it together here.
You're such a beauty. Okay, so for the listeners out there who maybe aren't familiar with your antics, tell us where you're from and your playing background. I mean, I got to imagine you're one of the better glue guys ever. Were you always a glue guy? And tell us about your early playing days.
Yeah, so I'm from Toronto, and I grew up playing minor hockey in Clarington. Definitely was a house league hero until I was about like 15, you know, just playing the game. I always loved the game. Didn't really care to take it competitively until I was like older and could actually like, you know, keep up with like the better guys. But yeah, huge glue guy, you know, love the bench. It's just more comfortable than on the ice. But yeah, no, 100%. I love playing minor hockey, love playing competitive when I got a little bit older there, but just love being a positive guy in the room all the time.
So you've been a peer bender since day one, pretty much.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm one of those people that just needs a video from DLZ to kick off my day. Your jokes and skits are original. They're so relatable to players and what hockey families go through during youth travel hockey days leading up to junior hockey. I'm always DMing a bit of one of my former teammates or good buddies. How do you get into content creating? Were you the class clown growing up? Was it a suggestion from someone to get into this biz? Like, you know, how did your social media fame come about, dude?
I feel like I kind of have the same story a lot of influencers have. You know, at school, definitely didn't really care about it too much. Definitely was a class clown, you know, always messing around, making jokes on my phone. Didn't really, like, pay attention. But always had, like, a thing for social media and YouTube and kind of growing up watching, like, FaZe Clan guys and, like, vlogs and kind of just growing up, especially in like the hockey Instagram community as well, back in the day there, seeing, you know, Zach Bell doing his stuff and all the OG accounts and kind of just falling into the love of hockey and content in general. Once I found out you could do it for a living, I was like, I jumped on it, you know, ASAP and kind of just fell in love with the creative side of it.
Dude, that's so awesome. Hey, you're crushing it. And, you're, once again, your skits are original. I DM'd, former Ducks forward and a good buddy of mine, Devontae Smith-Pelly, a little over a year ago now, a skit titled Hockey Dads When They Catch You Vaping. And dude, this is a family show. Vaping's bad. I get it. But this is all relatable stuff. I've never laughed so hard in my life, DLZ. That one's my favorite of all time. I've seen another hilarious skits recently, but do you have a favorite skit that you've done ever, all time? One that you look back on that really resonates with you?
Honestly, one of my all-time favorite videos I think I've ever made is probably my most recent one I did. It was the prom one, just because how creative it was. You know, I put the, obviously, you know, family-friendly show, but I put the Zin container on the prom sign, and I came up and I just thought, like, really creative video, and I thought it was just funny, and obviously it did well across platforms. So that up to date has to be my all-time favorite, but there's just so many that I have to think to pick like a general favorite one.
And look, I was obviously a club player myself, and now in today's day and age, all the skits, they hit right on the head. The scouting ones, just the BS that all parents deal with, players deal with, backdoor deals, you know, just, hey, the construction company getting the kids team on, and just some of the stuff I've seen even more recently is just, it's so spot on. How do you combat like copycats? Like, assuming there are others out there that have stolen your ideas, do you chirp them via DM? Like, how do you handle that?
I never chirp people who take content. I feel like that's just how social media is. You know, you kind of see what you see and kind of, you know, inspired by it and stuff like that. So I almost take it as a compliment when someone, you know, reenacts my video or recreates one or kind of does something similar, just because I feel like, you know, they thought, you know, my video was funny enough or creative enough that it did so good that it inspired them to make the same thing. So I really never get mad or like frustrated over it or chirp anyone. I kind of just, you know, I'll always support it because at the end of the day, they got the idea from me, right? So obviously it's more of like a compliment than anything.
DLZ, just preaching here. Wow. You should do a little cameo, charge $500 for your advice there. Unbelievable. Hey, yeah. At least your Instagram has 100,000 followers. What's next for DLZ? How big do you envision your fan base growing, and how are you going to get there?
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know, post more consistently, post more in a day, you know, maybe up the post a little bit more. I'm really trying to crush YouTube right now because I hit 1 million on TikTok, 100,000 on Instagram. My next goal is 100,000 on YouTube, so I'm really pushing YouTube and just to grow all platforms individually at the same time, like just as high as I can possibly go.
You're preaching right now, DLZ. You're such a beauty. Hey, Stanley Cup Finals predictions. Do the Oil come back? Like, do the Oil come back, or Florida? Or are they just going to take this and run with it? Overall thoughts.
You know, as an unfortunate diehard Toronto fan, I want nothing more than to see, you know, McDavid and Hyman lift the cup. But at this rate, Florida, it's looking good in Florida's favor. But you know, McDavid said last night, you can't wait for everyone to start doubting him again. And I think that's what they need. So I honestly think Oilers come back.
You're saying Oilers come back?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big turnaround.
Dalesy, did you just suck on the battery? Like, and once again, this is a family show. This is a family show. Vaping is bad, but because of your answer, did you suck on the battery?
No, sir. I am
okay. That is clean minded. That is a clean minded answer. Wow, Dalesy, I'm done with the predictions. I predicted right that Florida was going to come back versus the Rangers. I should have just rode with them. I think Florida's just going to take this and run with it. There, I just said I said I was going to make a prediction. And there you go. I think Florida's going to take this and run with it. Okay, there it is. You got Dalesy's clear-headed, clear-minded prediction. You got mine. Let's see how it plays out. But hey, Dalesy, how about the young Ducks players? How about some of the studs? Just overall thoughts. Maybe do a little give credit when credit's due, because it's certainly deserving. Some of that: Leo Carlson, Mac T, Pavel Mentikov, Goche. I mean, the list goes on and on for young talent on this Ducks roster. Who do you like when it comes to our team?
I love Carlson. I love what he's done coming into the league. You know, he's effective. He's fast. He's young, tall, talented. He's got everything you need to be an NHL player right now. And he's definitely gonna have an all-star career, I'd say, in the next five seasons. He one of my personal favorites you guys picked up from the draft. The other players too, you can't go wrong. You know, they're all great, phenomenal young players. Anaheim, I don't pay too much attention to that team, but I do watch a lot, and I do love McTavish coming from the O. I know he's been there for a while now, but he's obviously, I'm a big Canadian, you know, watch a lot of OHL hockey, watched him a lot in Peterborough. So seeing him light it up for you guys is also really, really entertaining to see as well. And I think he's a good role model and a good, good upper player for the younger guys to like look at.
Well, hey, less time with the Benjamin. Once again, hey, vaping is bad, folks. This is a family-oriented show. But, hey, spend less time sucking on that battery, Dalesy, and more time watching the Ducks. Come on, we're fun, dude. We're fun. You said it, Leo. And I know you, when you're ever, anytime you're on the ice, Dalesy, I know you're not trying to go outside back inside like Leo does. Are you?
No way.
No way.
No.
No way, Jose. Hey, Dalesy, no. Any plugs? Any shout-outs?
Shout-out Hockey Benders, obviously, the company there.
Dude.
So, doing good. Shout-out Hockey Benders.
Perfect. Hey, you're always pumping that fire. I mean, just some of the shirts. What's your – okay, and we'll end on this. What's your favorite – shirt print? I mean, there's all the hockey slang possible. What's been your favorite one that you've put out
for shirts?
Yeah,
I love the certified beauty one. I feel like beauty has always been a common hockey phrase, and you know, certified, it just does so well and looks clean on the shirt. So I love the I just absolutely love the certified beauty saying.
You're a certified beauty, Dalesy. Appreciate you hopping on the pod. Please come back. I'd love to have you again, but hey, next time, get a better cellular service. Come on. No more of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dalesy, you're a certified beauty, dude.
Thank you, man. You are too. I had fun. This was fun.
Okay, appreciate you. All the best.
Thanks, buddy.
Dalesy. Certified beauty, Aiden Dale. And that was so fun. That was so much fun, Dalesy. Once again, thanks for joining the pod, and let's get a little playoffs.
Yay! Playoffs!
Yeah, playoffs!
Playoffs? Come on. Playoffs?
The Florida Panthers are two wins away from hoisting that cup, and Dalesy coming out with a ginormous prediction. You got to think that, look, Edmonton, got to think how many people counted them out as we were talking earlier with Jesse in regards to that last series versus the Dallas Stars. I certainly counted them out. going a step further and just rambling on too much, going with Bagger's pick and picking the Dallas Stars to win the cup. Totally, you know, what was I thinking? I don't know. Should have just rode that prediction there out there on the East with the Florida Panthers taking down the blue shirts there and riding with them the whole way. And just got reckless. It happens to the best of us. I've moved on, turned the page. I got Florida taking this one. And look, Dalesy's one of the, I don't know how many people out there that are, hey, no, Edmonton, these have been close games, empty net goal type games. And how about that snipe at the red line, the far side tuck there? Unbelievable, that shot. And look, Louis Dreinen, I mean, far side, top shelf to seal that one. And I don't think that was talked enough in that game one. I don't think that top shelf ripper on the empty netter, that was cocky. That was. It's hard enough to slide it from red line and hit it, but to go far side cheese, unbelievable. Hey, look, the players, the Rodriguez's of the world, he's that half a point a game in the regular season that is getting it done for the Florida Panthers. And it can't be said the same for the Edmonton Oilers. And that's just what it's come down to. Of course, Bobrovsky's been unbelievable. If you think of if Edmonton just tucks two of the many breakaways that they've had, it's a different story. We think of that Ryan Nugent Hopkins blast there. It was a knuckle puck, but he shot it high and wide there. I mean, they've had glorious grade A opportunities. All these games have been close as it is. Of course, if Edmonton Oilers buries those couple breakaways there, they're ahead in that first game, and it's a different story. And they've been all close. So, hey, maybe Dalesy's got a point. I don't know. I'm still sticking with Florida. They've been through it. I thought that was downplayed leading up to the series. Just that experience. Look, they're back. They, what seem like, have corrected any of the errors that happened last year's playoffs and them not hoisting the cup last year. Look, I thought that point was blown off a little bit by several people, maybe even the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers there in that press conference. But hey, look, Florida Panthers, they have it all, right? They have goaltender on out. And, you know, I said it. Did I pick the wrong team to hoist the cup? Yes, in my earlier predictions. But look, the more complete team goalie on out is having more success currently in the Stanley Cup Finals. I got Florida taking it all the way. They're just finding ways to gut it out. And look, even on those empty netters, I mean, it's not easy to do. It's just not. And it's a primetime moment, and they're sealing the deal, and they're sealing the deal with confidence. But hey, Edmonton Oilers, if they can start bearing down on a lot of these grady opportunities, including finding ways to score on breakaways. I mean, McDavid trying to slide it five hole there. He's notorious for finishing on a lot of those breaks, and it just hasn't been the case. If they can turn that around, different series. I know it's going to be even closer, but you know, Florida, I just think it from right now, by the looks of it, you know, even if they drop one here in Edmonton, even if they drop one of the next two, go up 3-1 heading back to Florida. Look, it's just, I think it's their year. Gotta love playoffs. Can't wait for our Ducks to get back into the playoffs. Not only back into the playoffs, when we got guys like Leo and Minty. And the list goes on and on. The list just goes on and on. Jackson Lacombe, I mean, he looked really good in his cup of coffee there prior to this past season after his stellar collegiate career. He's got experience on the world stage. Look, Jackson Lacombe, toss him in there. I mean, we have a great group of young players. How about Sidorov? Doing what he did there in the Western League. Hey, Sidorov, I saw him in the rookie faceoff there in Vegas. He looked unbelievable. His finishing ability and tight. He's a pure goal scorer. maybe he makes a splash coming out of training camp. So much to look forward to. High draft pick coming up here. A lot to look forward to, Ducks Nation. Thanks for tuning in to yet another epi of Eat 'Em Up. And you know what? Shout out to Jesse Pollock and Aiden Dale Dalesy. Thanks, boys. Ultimate glue, guys. Fans out there, thanks for tuning in yet again. Look forward to the next one.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.